Welcome back to the Tipsy Theology Podcast. My name is Paul, and it's good to be here. Happy New Year. That might be kind of weird to say right now, because we're several weeks into the new year. But this is the first episode of 2025, and you know, it's been a strange beginning of the year. It's been a strange few weeks, at least for me and the people in my life that I've talked to about this. It seems to be kind of a universal like for a lot of people. And I think the New Year's the end of the year, the beginning of a new year, can do this a lot of times to us, and it forces us to spend time reflecting on who we've been and who we want to be and who we are and the changes that we want to make, the changes we want to see in our own lives moving forward. What are the things we want to accomplish and do in this new year? I think often, at least for me, I find myself in a place where I need to ask the question of like, okay, who am I? Who do I want to be? What is that identity? Where is that place? So I want to spend some time today on this episode talking about self-fidelity. Honestly, it's kind of strange to be back. It's been a little while since I've recorded for this podcast. I've been working on some new stuff, which I mentioned in the Christmas episode, that I'm really excited for. There's going to be some really cool things happening this year. But with that, there's a lot of change, and there's a lot of question marks over things. And I don't want to feel like you guys... I don't want you guys to feel like you're being neglected or anything like that is happening. Not at all. I've said this in the past, and I remain that I want to make sure that this is something that is beneficial and helpful. I'm not just here to just pump stuff out for you guys. I want to make sure that this podcast actually does have something to offer and is beneficial to you guys. And it's that idea of like, let's have the conversation. I feel like I like to reestablish this as much as I can, because I think it's important is let's not stop talking about stuff. When it comes to theology, when it comes to life, when it comes to just anything that happens, I think the worst thing we can do is not talk about it. The worst thing we can do is just not do anything. So recently, there's been a number of things that have happened, and it puts me in a place where I want to talk about it, but then when people start asking me questions, I get annoyed. Because it's like, I don't have the vocabulary to explain what's going on, because I really don't have a full grasp on it. And so it's funny, it's like the thing that I want to do when I finally get it, I'm like, ugh. Isn't that the conundrum of human beings? So with that said, I'm actually not drinking today, because I have a rule that I like to stick to, which is like when I'm feeling sad, I don't drink. So I have coffee instead. So let's take a little sip of this coffee here. It tastes like coffee. No, this is a medium roast. That's where I feel like I tend to stick to like the medium roast type coffees. Dark roast, I think they can be a little bit too harsh sometimes. And the light roast is just way too much caffeine for me. And there's no telling what's going to happen when I have too much caffeine. It's funny though, because it's like I feel like I don't get like super hyper, but I feel like it just I plateau at a certain energy level. So it's like I'm either hyper for hours, but like at my normal hyper level at those peaks, but it just stays at a peak. And then on other modes when I'm like in a middle mood, I just sit in that middle. If I'm low, I just stay low. And it's kind of strange. I don't know how it works. Coffee is one of those weird things. The one thing that I am trying to figure out though with my coffee making is the right ratio. And I know that I can look that up and find that, and I can like measure it out. But see, for some reason, I've decided that I don't want to measure anything. I just want to feel it in my heart every time. So what's kind of funny is I have no clue how strong I'm actually making my coffee. It is just kind of a gamble every single time. But this one isn't bad. I actually did something a little bit different. I added a little bit of some herbs and stuff to this one too, which kind of adds like a little, it's kind of like a little, it's not really herbally, more like, I don't actually know what the blend was that I added. It was just something I thought looked interesting. And I just like, yeah, bottoms up. And I just mixed that on in. But it adds like an extra little note to the top of it. It's like a little bit of sweetness, like a little citrusy, but not like a lot. I'm not doing a good job explaining this, am I? But I'll certainly try. Actually, this coffee tastes a little watery to me. So my heart might have been a little light in my pour. That's probably what happened here. But hey, you can't win every single one. And actually, so that brings me to an interesting phrase that I've been thinking about lately, which may or may not be new to you. And it's, to err is human, but to forgive is divine. I've been thinking a lot about that statement and that phrase. And the first half of it is, to err is human. And it's like, so to make mistakes is, he's saying that is part of being a human being. That's part of the human experience, is to make mistakes. But the act of forgiving someone for making those mistakes is almost this godlike attribute, which I think in a lot of ways is probably true. But I want to sit on that first half for a second. The idea that making mistakes is intrinsic to humanity. Now, I think it's where my mind goes, and it might be the case for a lot of you, is we think about the idea of sin, this willful disobedience toward the Lord, and I don't think that's fair to do, and so I wanna propose this, the idea of mistakes versus sin. And one of my favorite questions, which I'm sure I've brought up before on this podcast, and it's the question of, was Jesus a bad carpenter, is the way I've said it. Which actually, sorry, total side point to this. And I'll just tell you now, I'm kind of winging this a little bit. And it's because I have so many thoughts about this that it was too much to write down. And I thought in the spirit of this conversation to just give you kind of my stream of consciousness of how I'm, well, let's process this together. It's where I'm at. And I think that can be fun. And if I'm not going to lie, but that's how most of these go most of the time. And you guys are here for it. So I appreciate you. Love you for that. The downside of that is I actually lost where I was going. Oh, Jesus is a carpenter. It's funny. So that's the way the word is translated inside Scripture. It's in two places, one in Matthew and one in Mark. And they're referring to Jesus, where they go, oh, isn't this the carpenter's son? And what's interesting is like, yeah, that can be correct if that is actually like what that word means. And this brings up some weird questions that all the people that are wanting to find a way to not like the Bible are going to roll their eyes. But it's important to recognize with our English translations of Scripture is that we are so far removed from a culture and a people and a language where translators, hopefully, God willing, do their darndest to translate a word that doesn't perfectly translate. it's like the phrase like shalom, for example. It's like that isn't an English word. And that's actually within that. It's like words are a way for us to express a concept or an idea, something intangible. We're trying to add descriptors to something. Like I'm like, this is a chair. It's like, well, what is a chair? It's like, well, that's the sound I make to tell you that I'm talking about this thing. And we all know that because that's a concept. That's a sound that we've attached to that concept in our language. But for other languages, like Hebrew, for example, in this case, we don't have those same definitions for concepts. And so for them, like that word means a lot. And so for us to, and for a translator with the Bible, to actually translate that, it can take a few words or sometimes even a full sentence. If I remember this right, the Hebrew Bible is actually like a third less words than our English translation of the Bible. And it's for that very reason. There's a lot of things where one word sums up exactly what they're talking about. But for us, it takes a little bit more explanation. And with that, sometimes we can choose a word that is the closest, that translates the closest, but it's not exactly what they're talking about. And so that's where we have all these Hebrew language scholars and nerds that spend their whole life studying this stuff, because they're going to unpack that for us further. And that's just because we're talking about two different languages, two different cultures that are thousands of years apart from each other. So that's to be understood, I think. So carpenter, Jesus being a carpenter, that word there, which I can't remember off the top of my head, it's funny. So when you look at that time, wood was actually not a very common thing, and it was typically reserved for rich people. And so and like, so those specialties, especially in Nazareth, was not going to be a very common thing. So most likely Joseph, and then subsequently Jesus, who potentially studied under his father for a while, but even then probably not. He probably went right to rabbinic school to study to be a rabbi, or be a teacher. Joseph, his father, would have most likely been a builder. So he would have worked with a lot of different things, mostly stone, I believe, because I think that was the most common material at that time. But he was more of like a contractor or a builder and less of a specialized carpenter. That's a whole side thing. But even then, it's like, let's assume for the sake of argument that Jesus was a builder. And actually, it would make sense, too, because a lot of the analogies and examples he gives, he talks a lot about building and a lot less about carpentry, which would make sense, because if he knew building, had some knowledge of building, then he would speak in that way. So like for me, it's like I know music, so I'm going to give things that are more inclined to reflect music, because that's what makes sense to me. That's how I can draw connections. Well, anyway, with that said, the question stands, was Jesus bad at X trade he did? Was he a bad builder? Did he make mistakes? Did Joseph say, hey, can you hand me that tool, and he brought the wrong one? Or Jesus was at home and he like turned and knocked over a glass and broke the cup? It's like, did he do those things? Probably. So then, if that's the case, how can we say he was sinless? He was without sin. It's like, well, because that's not a sin. And it's easy for us, at least for me, to conflate these two things. When we think mistake, we think sin. When there's a lot of things that we do that are just mistakes, they're failures. But they're not to the same level as committing willful disobedience to the Lord. I think about that with, you know, with kids, where it's like, they can try to walk and they're going to fall. It's like, well, they made a mistake. They messed up at walking. But that's to be understood because they don't know how to walk yet. They're learning how to do those things. But if they're doing something and their parent says, hey, don't do that. I don't want you doing that. Well, now if they continue doing it, now they're sinning. Now they're not making just a mistake, but they're actually doing something wrong. And why is this important? I think it's important because throughout my life, when I think about things that I've messed up, I think it's easy to really beat ourselves up. It's really easy for me to beat myself up about those things and say, oh, like, I'm a failure, I'm no good, blah, 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 blah. You know, downward spirals. It's not good. And it's harder to say, you know what, I made a mistake, and that's going to happen. I didn't do anything that was sinful, hopefully, in my made-up example right now. So let me forgive myself. Or if somebody else makes a mistake, it's like, hey, making mistakes is part of humanity. It's part of being a human being. Now let me forgive you and let you forgive yourself for that. And I think where that phrase breaks down is when we are talking about sin. There is still something godlike, and it is godlike, to forgive the sin. But it's a little, there's a lot more layer and stuff to that conversation, which I don't want to get into in this particular episode. Let me have some more coffee here. This is nice. I'll be honest, like, there's nothing like a good cup of Joe. There's something about, I found, like, for me, I just love drinking liquids. Which maybe sounds weird. It's funny. It's like I was talking to my roommate about this because he's one who can often take a long, long time to drink something. Where it's like, yeah, I will walk to the fridge and grab some water, and I'll have to grab another glass before I'm done walking away from the fridge because I'm just like downing drinks all the time. And so that's the downside to the coffee thing that I have to work on for myself, is it's easy for me to have like 6 cups of coffee just because it's there. I don't know if you guys are like that, but I think it's kind of funny. And then I'm at the end of the day like, why am I like this? And it's like, well, because I had way too much caffeine today. And that would be a mistake. I made a mistake. The problem is I keep making that mistake. Does that make it sin? Interesting. So I think when we look at a new year, and as we're jumping into, here's what I find fascinating about the end of a year, the last like 2 weeks specifically. We're heading into the Christmas time. And I think for a lot of people, that's one of the only times where we really get to change up our behavior. And I was going to say slow down, but it's like, it's actually a really busy time. But what we're busy with changes. Instead of being busy with the normal responsibilities at work or with church or with family or whatever, it's like the dynamic really shifts. And I think what's interesting when stuff like that happens, it causes us to have to stop and think about our lives, where we're at, and what we want to do. But then it's funny because then we jump into the new year with like, oh yeah, new year, new me. I got all these resolutions and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. All these big lifestyle changes, which can be good things. But we're going back into our normal routine, our normal life. And those new things that we want to do don't quite fit in because we didn't make them fit in. You know, it's like, oh, I want to make this huge lifestyle change of going to the gym, you know, 4 times a week. And it's like, that's great. But your lifestyle doesn't allow you to do that. So what we need to do, which is a lot harder, is to change our lifestyle to fit those things. And that's easier said than done. That's difficult to do. sometimes it is worth it, though. Because when we look at, I think January is a big time for me, as I said earlier, with our mental state, and I'll use the phrase mental wealth. And why do I use that instead of health? Because I think it's easier for us to focus on like a narrow aspect of it. But it's like there's a lot that goes into having a good mental space, mental headspace, mental space, and that goes into like sleep, what we eat, how we manage our stress, do we exercise? You know, those kinds of things are so important for this. And so when we're looking at making these changes in our lives, whether it's big lifestyle changes or smaller ones, it's important for us to find like, okay, how can I actually do this in a way that's sustainable? Can I adjust my life enough in a way so that way I can fulfill this thing that I want to see in my life? And so it's we have to find those. I think oftentimes it starts with finding those little 1% changes that we can make. Sometimes that are compatible with our lifestyle currently, to help us, one, see like, okay, this is where it needs to change. But then two, it's like, we're actually going to do it. What are those small things that are positive that'll allow us to get to where we want? I think about that a lot with sleep, because I don't know if I've actually shared this before, but several, oh, man, it's been a long time now, actually. Oh, man, I'm getting old. I'll say several years ago. It's been more than that. I was driving home one night, and I had notoriously had horrible sleep. I am one of those that I hate sleep, but I understand it's important. So I would do the minimal amount of sleep that I could possibly do. So I was living for a long period of my time on between 4 to 6 hours of sleep. And six would be like on a weekend because I was like, I just don't want to do it. I feel like I'm missing everything. FOMO hits me hard. And I was like, yeah, how do I not do that? And then I was driving home one night and I fell asleep and I crashed my car. And luckily it was the best case scenario where the car was minorly damaged. I needed it to be pulled out of a ditch. And it was snowing out, which made it really scary too. But I was totally fine, and no one was hurt, so that was good. Those were all like very positive things. But it really kind of forced me to face the fact that sleep is important, and it's something that I do need to pay attention to. And so I started getting heavy into like, all right, how do I make sure that I'm getting good quality sleep? And there are those minor things that we can do to help that. But for me personally, there was a larger thing that needed to happen, which was I needed to get, you know, 7 to 9 hours of sleep every single night. And being able to do that, I noticed massive differences. And alongside that, because it's not just the hours, but it's the quality. And those are those small changes that we can make in our life, in our environment, to facilitate those better things. And those are the things that don't really affect our life too much, I don't think, but they can pair alongside these to help us be more successful. And so that's where I think about, I've talked about them on the podcast before, which is Magic Mind. They actually have a new product to help with, I think it's new to me. I'm just hearing about it. to help with sleep, to help you get to bed quicker and to sleep longer. Now, I'm one that I run around like a jackrabbit most of the time. I feel like I actually have a good heart rate, but I feel like it's always at like 150 because I'm just like all the time. So my heart's probably like blah 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 blah. But I know I have a good heart rate, which is nice. And I'm not going to disclose what it is because whatever I say won't be good enough. There's going to be someone out there. I know it. So that's personal information. But the other thing that I love with actually here, if you haven't seen it before, this is what one of these little bottles look like. And it's just a little pocket size. Just right in your pocket. It's kind of nice. But the one thing that I love, this is the daytime one to help with productivity. I love this because, like I said, I love a good cup of Joe. I love drinking my coffee. I like tea. And those things all have caffeine in them. But the thing with caffeine that is trouble with that is that crash that you get, because it doesn't actually like give you energy. It just blocks out the fact that your brain knows that you're tired. So it just like inhibits that. And you're like, oh, no, I have energy. It's like, no, you just don't know you're tired. That's really all it's doing. But this, which is cool, is it actually reacts a little bit differently in your body and doesn't give you that same crash, but it helps you sustain. It helps me sustain a very stable level of energy. And it gives me, because it's got really great stuff in here with its nootropics and nootropics, those things. And it's like I think there's like lion's mane in this, and these things are all just really, really helpful. And I've noticed a big difference for that in my day to day, where it helps me not face the same kind of crashes or burnouts that I would normally get. That decision fatigue, I'm able to not fatigue as quickly because I have that sustained level of energy to focus. Because I do have trouble focusing. A lot of times it's either I can give you 150% or I can give you 1% focus. And this kind of helps bridge the gap for me to find that middle place. And it's January. It's the beginning of the year. We're all like, let's change our lives. So I think that this is the best time personally to hop into something like this. Because it's not a huge commitment to your daily life. It's something that you can just, boop, it's like taking your vitamins, and you just set it right next to your coffee, set it next to whatever. You don't even have to take coffee with it if you don't want to. If you're not a coffee person, it's not a requirement to drink coffee to have this. you can have it alongside, and you will probably, it'll just become like brushing your teeth in the morning. It's just part of your routine. It's an easy win, and that's what I love, and I think that's what's so good for us, is let's find those easy wins that we can enjoy. And so, for the first time, you can get this daytime clarity one and the sleep one, you can get that bundled together, 45% off. That's right, 45% off, using my link, which, go check that out in the description. I think you'll be happy with it, and this stuff's been studied. But behind everything they do, there's tons of research behind it. It's no joke. It's no joke. It's a no-brainer in my opinion. So I say just go give it a look. You'll be happy. You'll be happy you did. You'll be happy you did. And when you are happy, you can tell me about it. So go to the description. Check that out. Thanks, Magic Mind. Appreciate you guys. Yeah, and so what's nice about this, to what we're saying with mistakes, with life, like those are all things that will happen. There's going to be a day where you forget something, and that's okay. what I'm basically telling you, this, the whole thesis of this episode, what I'm saying is it's okay. But we need to understand what we're saying it's okay too. So the separate conversation, which I've mentioned a few times, I really just want to make sure I reiterate this, is that line between sin and mistake. Those are two separate things. And so for the Jesus question, it's like, yeah, he very well could have knocked a glass. He could have been super clumsy. And it's like, and he still would be God. Now, I think it's funny because it's like it kind of diminishes that idea of his divinity to us. But it's like, no, that's very possible. He could have been a klutz. And so when we strive, I think when we strive for something that's good, we think of this perfection, that everything's perfect. I think that when we get to after the judgment, when we're on the new earth, I don't think that we're going to be great at everything. I think we'll have things that we're very good at with practice, and then we'll have things that we can't do. Because that's just part of who we are. And I don't think that's a result of the fall. It's not a result of sin. The fact that we make mistakes, the fact that I knock stuff over sometimes, or the fact that I'm not good at certain things in my life, it's like, well, that's because it's learning, and we can't be good at everything. And it's learning to be okay with that fact. And so I brought up this word in the very beginning of the episode, which was self-fidelity. And I think it's a great concept. It's the idea of like being confident and being happy with who you are, really embracing who you are. And I think it's a scary phrase, it's a scary term because of how we've accepted it and how it's been portrayed in modern day, where it's like, oh, no matter who you are, you're good. It's like, no, that's not what that is. I think it's, well, actually, okay, how do I want to say that? On one hand, it's like, okay, that is good, but it's like, who are you? I think that's the bigger question. Because before we can be confident in who we are, I think we have to know who we are. And 2 years ago, I believe it was, I started the year off on the podcast with exploring the attributes of God. Like, who is God? Who is he? And I think now when I reflect on that, I think that is so helpful as a foundation to now understand who we are. Because as his imagers, as his image bearers, we bear the image of God. We're supposed to be a reflection of him. And so that doesn't mean that we are God. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, in our life, we need to reflect that. So my identity, I would say that I am a Christian. I'm a Christ follower. That is who I am. Now, there are other things, a part of my life, that play a role that fit into the full picture of who I am. But those things should all plug into my relationship to the Lord. So I'll say it's like, oh, I'm a musician. It's like, well, is that my identity? No, it's a part of it. But it's like, but my real identity is being a Christian, being a follower of Yahweh. And my musicianship, that skill that I have, that is informed by my identity of being a Christian. And so when we think of being confident in who you are, it's like, well, who I am in totality should be influenced by who the Lord is. And so can I be confident in, one, knowing who God is, and then, two, knowing how I can represent, how I can reflect that well in my own life? And I think that's where that confidence can really, really come from. Even looking in, like, the Psalms, I think that's such a cool example of that struggle that we can have, of trying to embrace that and trying to find that balance and understanding what my identity truly is in. Because that's a battle that we have. That's to use the very Christianese terms, the old man and the new man. For those unfamiliar, God bless you. And I mean that sincerely. So the old man is, who was I outside of Christ? Who am I outside? Who was I outside of Christ? And the new man is, who am I inside of Christ? And I think for many of us, we've spent a whole lot more time being our old self, being our self apart from the Lord, that we know that guy really well. At least intrinsically, there's a level of that that's like, I understand that side of me better than I understand who I am following Christ. Now, I think the goal is, how do we get closer to choosing that person, to understanding who that person is, so that way that is without a doubt, like, that is who I am. And there's ebbs and flows. We see that in the Psalms. We see that all throughout Scripture, where these people have a very strong sense of identity in who Christ is, and who God is. I think of David and Goliath. It's like he hears Goliath mocking the Israelites and mocking God. And he goes, what the heck? He's like, are you guys serious? And it's like what he's criticizing is the fact that they don't have an identity in who God is and who they are because of God. But David shows that really strongly. And like, no. This is our identity. They're attacking God. That's not good. But then we see other parts with David where then he denies that identity and he rejects it, choosing himself apart from the Lord. He's not being grounded in the identity of God at those times. And so for us and for me, when I think of this year, when I think of the things that have happened and the things that will happen, it's like, how can I be confident? How can I have that comfort level with who I am when those things present themselves? And sometimes it's those big moments that happen where someone will ask you something and you're like, oh, no, that's in stark contrast to who I am, my morality, my ethics. And so, no, thank you. And I think where it becomes complicated, it goes back to those little 1% changes that we were talking about. Those little tiny things, those inconsequential things that can keep us from being healthier. It can keep us from having that mental wealth that I mentioned, because we don't have those things to draw from, because we're being pulled away from it slowly and slowly and slowly. And I think a month like this, a season like this, a time where we feel these feelings, where I feel these feelings, and I'm sure we all do, it ebbs and it flows. I'm sure some of you are having a great beginning of January, and I love that. And I want you to really just move like a rocket with that, I guess. I want to be happy for you, and I am happy for you. Trust me, I am very happy. But so when those things happen, we're always moving in a direction. So when we have these seasons where we're reflecting, it's important for us, one, to be honest with ourselves, and finding one of the things that I try to do, which helps me a lot, is sometimes I don't have the vocabulary to understand what I'm feeling, what I'm going through. And so it's finding what's a way that I can find that that vocabulary. For me, it's music. One of the things that I'll do, especially when I'm really reflecting or if I'm feeling down or even when I'm feeling really happy, it's let me express this somehow through music. And I'll find those words, I'll find those things, because I'm making something that's very intangible, I'm making it more tangible, so I can latch onto it and then express it in a different way. And so I think it's important for us, one, to have those things. And that goes into, like, how are we managing ourselves? And then it's moving forward. What direction are we headed, and where do we want to head, and how do I get there? And we need to stay in, sometimes we do need to make these grand, bold, big moves in life changes very quickly. And oftentimes, we have the luxury of choosing them slowly. And so, I mean, a big one is like the gym. I think that's such a big one that a lot of people have. And it seems to be a very popular thing. It's kind of a fad right now to go to the gym to exercise. And so with that, it's like, oh, well, yeah, I'm going to commit to 5 days a week because that's the best way to do it, according to these people that go all the time and have been doing it for 10 years. It's like, that's great. You haven't been going for that long. You haven't been doing that. So what's something you can do to start? Maybe it's going once a week. Maybe it's going twice a week. Maybe it's only going for 15, 20 minutes. Maybe it's going for an hour and a half. It's like, I don't know. But it's like, how can we build that consistency up in our lives to head in the right direction? You know, it's like, I'm not going to be a perfect Christian tomorrow. I'm not going to be a perfect Christian this afternoon or by the end of the year. But what are those small things that I can do to help push me in that direction to get better and better and better? And yeah, sometimes, to use a ridiculous example, maybe not ridiculous for some people, but it's like, yeah, if I go out murdering people all the time, it's like, well, that's a big thing I should stop doing. That's like, well, I'll slowly stop murdering people. Maybe I'll just murder 3 today instead of 5. I mean, do that at least, but stop murdering people. And I say that in a ridiculous way to kind of make fun of how we can think about big sins in our lives. Those big sins in our lives where it's like, oh, I should, when it comes to, let's bring up pornography, because that's a hot topic right there. And it's very uncomfortable for a lot of people. And it should be uncomfortable because it's wrong. And it's like, oh, I shouldn't just slowly stop that. It's like, no, you need to stop. It's like, just stop doing that. Now, is it that easy? No, it's not that easy. Does it take time? Yes, it takes time. But you need to stop. And then think about, what are the things that I'm doing that put myself in those places to make those decisions? And let me make these changes to get away from that. And now with that said, that's the sin side of it, which I said I wasn't even going to talk about, but here I am talking about it. But on the other side of these mistakes, when we think about it in a not damnable offense, is, oh, I'm learning something. Let's say I want to start drawing. I just looked at a pen and I was like, drawing. Done. It's like, let's say I want to be really good at drawing. It's like, well, you need to draw a lot of bad things at first. And why? Because you need to find the areas where you can improve. And so it's like, you made a lot of mistakes in the beginning. You tried to draw a cat. When I try to draw an animal, it's like, that doesn't look like that. But it's like, that's the first step to me doing it right. Because I need to see, it's like, okay, where am I? Let me make my mistakes. So that way I can move forward. Does that mean that I'm a horrible, terrible person and I'm no good at anything or to anyone? No, not at all. That's not what that means at all. What that means is I'm learning something. I'm trying to get better. And sometimes along the way, in relationships, for example, amongst friendships, any type of relationship with the person, is it's a significant other, like whatever that is, whatever that looks like, we're going to make mistakes in that relationship. Some of them can be, I said something stupid. And it's like, oh, well, that maybe led to a funny misunderstanding. And it's like, that's cool. I still made a communication error. I still made a mistake. And they were understanding of that. It's an easy thing to forgive. But then there's times where it's like, oh, I made a really big mistake here. I made something that made that other person really angry. That is something where it's like, okay, now it might take a little bit more for them to forgive me. And that's on them to forgive. But it's on me to apologize and to bring that to light, to own my mistake. And I think that's a big part of this self-fidelity of being confident in who you are is, one, if I do something that is wrong, that is hurtful to somebody, it's like, well, is that a part of, am I someone who says these things and is hurtful to people? Well, then I should change that. I should acknowledge it first. Don't hide it. We shouldn't hide the errors that we make. We need to address them. And that's the same thing with our Christian walk. If I do something that is sinful, well, I need to not hide it like Adam and Eve did in the garden when they disobeyed God. They hid themselves. What they should have done is said, hey, God, we screwed up. Does that mean they didn't screw up? No, but it means that they owned up to it. And it's important for us to say, like, hey, let me own up to this. God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done this. I did this, and I'm going to try not to do this. I don't want to do this again. Because it's that idea of, like, how much do we love God? How much do we love that person? How much do we respect other people? That way, when we do make mistakes, we can say, hey, I did this. I didn't want to do this. This isn't who I'm trying to be. This isn't who I am. And if our identity is in Christ, if our identity is in God, then we can say, I love God, and I'm trying to reflect him well. This is the standard that he gave. This is who he is. This is what I'm trying to reflect. And if I wasn't a reflection of that, I need to say, hey, I'm sorry I did that. That's not who I am. Let me fix this. And then from there, we can move on. And yeah, I think that's a cool thing. And it's one of those where when I think back to the phrase, bringing it all the way back, to err is human. Absolutely. To make mistakes is human. And what I'm not saying right there is to sin is human, because that is not intrinsically part of humanity. I think that's something that we adopted because we disobeyed God, because those are the decisions that we have made to do those things. But intrinsically, that is not human. That is not human nature. We have the experience to sin, and we do that. I shouldn't say human nature. That one's going to set some people off, I'm sure. Because to us, it's like, yeah, we have gained this state of willful disobedience to the Lord. But to be human, actually, I think this was something that Trey said on an episode last year, and I really love that. It's like to show Jesus Christ was the one who showed what it is to be the fullness of humanity. And it doesn't mean he wasn't clumsy sometimes. Because I think he probably was. I think he knocked stuff over accidentally. He made a bump into something like, oh, sorry. I think that most likely happened. There's a good chance he said something. He's like, whoa, I didn't mean it like that. Maybe I'm overstepping on that one. But you guys can let me know in the comments. But overall, I think we need to find that line and recognize that line of sin and mistake. To make mistakes, that is part of humanity. That's part of anything. I mean, you look at animals. Animals make mistakes. I always think back to a cat that my mom has. And cats are excellent hunters. Like, they're really good. and they have great balance. Well, except for this one cat who I saw several times fall off of a completely, like, off of a railing. And it wasn't a hard railing to step on. There was a good platform there. And she just, burp, just slipped, just fell, like, lost her balance. And it's like, yeah, that happens. Well, why does that happen? Because we all make mistakes. Our bodies don't function 100% of the time. And that's not a result of the fall. That's not a result of sin. If Adam and Eve were in the gym, if Adam was over there pumping iron, he would get tired. He would fatigue. And he'd be like, man, my muscles are worn out. And there's a good chance if he had some jelly legs, he might fall over. That's not sin. That's because we have physical bodies that have limitations to them. And I think it's important for us to recognize that in ourselves, that we do have limitations. We do have areas where we can grow. And that, because of that potential for growth, leaves room for mistake. It leaves room for error. So part of humanity is making mistakes. It is being caught in error sometimes. Because I can't draw perfectly right now. And if I was without sin, I probably still couldn't draw perfectly. And so the other side of this, one is finding that line, what is sin, what is not sin. But then the other side of that phrase, but to forgive is divine. Because it's hard for us to forgive people. It's hard for us to forgive ourselves. I think, one, it can be difficult to forgive people for making a mistake, a non-sin issue. It can be tough to do that, especially when maybe it was really important to us, and someone's like, I'm sorry, you loved this cup, and I dropped it. It's like, oh, yeah, this is my favorite mug. And someone says, wow, this is such a cool mug that you place a lot of value in. Oops, I dropped it. It broke. Well, it can be hard for me to forgive that person for that. Did they commit sin? No, because it slipped. They didn't mean to do it. But it can still be hard to forgive in those moments. And so it does take something outside of us to say, yes, let me forgive you for that non-sin issue. You didn't commit malice against me. You weren't being malicious toward me. You made a mistake. That's okay. It doesn't mean it's still not hard, because it can still be hard. It's like, oh man, this was my great grandfather's cup that he drank in the boat on his way over to this country. It's like, maybe. But then there's the other side of it where I say, hey, I love this cup. This cup means a lot to me. And someone goes, that's really neat, and throws it on the ground and smashes it to smithereens. Well, now that's sin. That's hurtful. Like, you did something intentionally to hurt me. And that's harder to forgive. It's a lot harder to forgive. And I think that's where, for me, it emphasizes what God did. The fact that we did and repeatedly commit malicious sin toward him. We do things intentionally to hurt him. And sometimes I don't think we think about it that way, but when I choose to not exercise my identity in him, when I choose not to place my identity in him, and I choose other things, it's like, well, that's harmful. That's harmful to the relationship that if I love the Lord, why would I want to do that? I don't want to harm him. And the fact that he forgave us for doing the most heinous stuff. Like, that is godlike. Because God did it. That's why. And I think for someone, when people do commit horrendous things, it does take this almost godlike ability, this godlike identity, to say, you know what? I forgive you for that. And that's for the biggest stuff. And we struggle with that for the smallest things. And so what I want to say here at the end is, maybe it's been a great couple weeks, maybe it's been a hard couple of weeks, but overall, let's embrace the journey. Let's enjoy it, because there is something very special about the process of things, and it's a very special place that we get to be able to reflect. Whether things are going well, whether things are not going well, whether things are just eh, it's like, let's take this time that we have to look in, to take an inventory on where we are and where we want to be. And then let's break it down to how do we get there. And that goes outside of just your gym habits or your healthy eating, or I want to walk 10 miles every day, or whatever it is. You know, I noticed I did all health stuff. Sometimes it can be, you know what, let me make sure I get that extra hour of sleep tonight so I can hit 8 hours. Maybe it's, you know what, let me make sure that my phone is off and so I can, you know, I don't have that blue light negatively affecting my quality of sleep. And maybe it's, let me read one chapter of the Bible every day, because that's a small thing that we can do. When I wake up, let me just take 2 minutes and just thank God for this morning. It's those small things that help push us in the right direction. And we're going to make mistakes. We're not going to be perfect. We can't expect our whole life of decisions to change in 1 minute. So let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy the journey that we have. Let's really take the time and find our identity, recognize our identity in who God is and how we can reflect that well. Through the mistakes, if we do things that are embarrassing, it's like, well, I did something embarrassing. If we do something to hurt somebody, well, let's apologize and do what we can to fix that. It doesn't mean that person's going to be friends with us again or anything, but it means let's try to make right what we can make right and be confident. Let's be confident and comfortable in saying, this is who God is, this is what God requires, and I want to reflect that in the best possible way that I can. And if I'm found in error to that, whether it's a small non-sin mistake, whether it's a big sin mistake, let's recognize it and let's do what we can to rectify that. And yeah, I hope this has been helpful. This has been helpful for me to talk this idea out, because it's one of those things that I've been thinking about so much lately. And it's a conversation that I've had a lot with people. And so I hope this has been beneficial to you as well. thank you so much for listening. Feel free to leave me a comment below. Let me know how your 2025 has been going so far. What are your goals? What's the one small thing that you're going to do to head in the right direction? Or what's the thing that you're going to do to head in the wrong direction? I don't know. I'm just giving you ideas. Just prompts. That's all it is. But yeah, I'd love to hear from you guys. I love hearing from you guys. If you're not subscribed, if you're not following, consider subscribing, consider being following the podcast so you can listen to more of these. I enjoy the conversations that I get to have with you guys and the conversations I get to have with the guests that we bring on here. And the biggest thing is let's not stop talking. I think that's my motto for this year. Let's not stop having conversations. Let's talk about the things that are embarrassing. Let's talk about the things that are confusing. Let's talk about the things that make sense, that we're excited about. 'Cause life is really complicated. Life's exciting. The Bible's complicated. The Bible is exciting. It's confusing. And so let's talk about it. And yeah. I will talk to you hopefully sooner rather than later.